Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for life and for love and for a new year, which we can help to set our sights, which helps us to set our sights again on you. And so we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that by doing one thing, you can change your life? Do you believe that? Certainly there are things that we know will help us, like I said with the kids, exercise, more healthy food, find appropriate ways to deal with stress. We all experience stress in our lives, and to live within our means. And then there are other activities which can change our lives. Like believing in God. No, more than that, by trusting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the resulting actions would hopefully include things like regular times of conversation with God, what we call prayer, or learning more about God or meditating on God's Word. Recognizing God's generosity to us is an important thing for us to learn to do. Oftentimes, we don't recognize how God has been generous to us, and then in return to become more generous to God. And then making it a priority in our life to belong to a family of faith and to regularly worship together. Those are things that hopefully are included in your life as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is during the end of the year and the beginning of a new year that the desire to make certain changes in our lives, whether physically or spiritually, tends to be more pronounced. I can promise you, though, one simple thing that you can do beginning today that will change your life so that you will experience more of God this year. Experience God more profoundly, more than you have ever experienced before. So that you will experience more peace in your life, even amidst the struggles or the storms of life that we all experience, so that our relationships, both with those around us and with God, will grow more deeply. I don't promise weight loss. I don't promise that you'll look younger in years, but I do promise that if you're intentional and sincere, you will experience life like you have never experienced it before. I promise. I promise. Now, I asked a question at the beginning of service. What would you say are the most important or the most memorable Old Testament stories that you know of? Just shout them out like popcorn. Ruth and Naomi. Joseph, Esther, Jonah and the whale. What was this one? Job, Rahab, Noah, Joshua, David, King David, yeah. Adam and Eve. So I came up with a top 10. And my top 10, I just started from the beginning of the Old Testament because I think creation is the most important story because we're here. And then the next most important story is Adam and Eve, or actually the fall of man, Adam and Eve allowing death into life. And then the third one was that God found all people but one man to be wicked all the time. To be wicked all the time, which led to the flood. And then number four, the Tower of Babel. You know, I don't know if we talk about this enough. We talk about having different languages, and that's where it says that God scattered the people and gave them different languages. Number five, God begins with a new nation through Abraham and Sarah, where they learn to have faith in God, to have a real strong faith in God, that he will bring about his promise of a child. Number six, meant for evil, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Yet through it, God saved Joseph's family from 7 years of famine. Number seven, enslaved in Egypt some 400 years later, God worked through a timid man named Moses to set the Israelites free. And then, of course, who can leave out of their top 10 list Mount Sinai and the big what? The big 10, right? 10 commandments. That was number eight. Number nine, after Israelites set up home in Israel, they continued to be led astray from worshiping the one true and living God. Instead, they were wanting to worship idols. And that to me is an important story because it's a theme that carries throughout the Bible. It's a struggle that people have today to worship something other than God. And number 10, the Israelites' desire for a king to be like the other nations around them. You know, God didn't want them to be like other nations. He set them apart, and yet here they want to be like other nations. God, give us a king. Number 11, through the kingships. Yes, I went beyond 10. Number 11, through the kingships, Israel would fall away from God and would be sent into exile for 70 years. That was a huge story. And then number 12, my last one, God promised that in 70 years they would return and reestablish life in Jerusalem, and they did. 70 years. And as the Israelites came back to Jerusalem, most scholars believe that Ezra, the priest, one of the main priests that helped lead the people back, helped them also to reconnect with the people of their past by giving a chronology or a genealogy of people from Adam and Eve all the way through the restoration, all the way through their time period. It was the first nine chapters of First Chronicles. And then the chronicler began to give or retell the stories of the reign of the king, starting with King David and then King Solomon, then going through the divided kingdom. This is how we got exiled. And then finally talking about the restoration after the 70 years. Genealogies, those first nine chapters. A person's history is found in genealogies, and you'll never know what you'll uncover until you look back in your genealogy. For instance, in my genealogy, my siblings and I, we are 18th cousins to George Washington. Yes, we are. 18th cousin. Thank you. Thank you very much. Right? And going back to the 14th century, we are descendants of Sir Richard Fowler, a knight of the Round Table. Right? And for those who returned to Jerusalem, they needed to be reminded of some of the prominent people in their past. King David, God's warrior king. And then King Solomon, who expanded God's kingdom in wealth and peace that they had never experienced even to this day. Which was important for them to remember God's activity in their lives. And that they knew, they needed to know that God was still with them. The same God who was with their forebears to protect them, to grant them peace. Now, in the midst of this long nine-chapter genealogical record, is of all the Old Testament stories we remember, there's this too obscure verse story that is inserted into the genealogy. Read it with me. Here's the first verse. The Jabez, that it should be, that Jabez was the most distinguished of his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I bore him with pain. Jabez was either a man whom the people knew of or a man who they knew of his life, much like my 18th cousin George Washington, who people know from what others have said. Jabez was somehow distinguished from his brothers, on one hand, yet the name Jabez literally means he afflicts or gives pain. He afflicts or gives pain. How would you like to be named because of your mother's pain? Whether it was an affliction or pain she experienced in childbirth, or possibly the affliction or pain that she experienced coming back to Jerusalem when she lived as a Jewish woman, like the former. Regardless, Jabez got his name, which people understood meant pain. And in that time period, people lived into their names. In creation, God created man from what? The dust of the earth. The dust of the earth. In Hebrew, the word for ground is Adam. Abraham meant exalted father, or Abram meant exalted father. And God changed it to Abraham so that it would mean the father of multitudes, the father of many nations. God changed Abraham's wife, Sarai, which meant princess, to Sarah, which also means princess, but also takes on this understanding of the mother of many nations and kings. Boy, we could live into those kinds of names, couldn't we? And today we don't see this living into a name played out so much where people name their children because of circumstances. When my parents named my twin brother and I, they thought of biblical characters that they could name us. And they thought of friends that were in the Bible. For instance, David and Jonathan were best friends in the Old Testament. Or who could forget Peter and Paul, apostles in the New Testament. And they ended up calling us David and Paul. But for many of us, we do not carry names. Maybe the official name on our birth certificate like that. But names or words that have shaped our lives, they do exist in our lives. And sometimes we just can't seem to shake them. Names like dummy, stupid, oh, you're so slow, or worse. Or names based on our looks, skinny, fatso, four eyes, train tracks, pimple face. Or names using phrases like, you'll never amount to much, you'll always be a slob, you'll never look like a model, you'll never be anything better than, and then you fill in the blank. You know those names. These are hurtful names that many of us have heard or have walked around with for years, if not decades. Names we can't seem to shake no matter how hard we try. Names that pop up in our heads at the worst possible moment. Our self-image, formed at an early age, is often based on what others see in us. And it seems that those names just beat us down, keeping us from becoming all that we can be for Christ, all that we can be for ourselves. And like Jabez, we want to be set free from that name. Now, my guess is for many of us, we have not been named for a circumstance, but we do carry these names or labels that have been hard to overcome at times. And after learning that Jabez's name is named because of pain, we see Jabez praying this prayer to God. Jabez, read it with me. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you may truly bless me and extend my boundaries. May your hand be with me and make me free of misfortune without pain." We see it in that last line, make me free of misfortunes without pain. Set me free, Lord, the God of all Israel. Let me live into another name, a positive name. May I become a George Washington or a Sir Fowler Knight, Richard Fowler, a Knight of the Round Table. May I become a father of nations. A princess, a mother of nations and kings. My friends, what we need to remember that is this. If we're sincere with God, if we're intentional with God, then we should remember not only who we are, but whose we are. As a Christian is named Christian because they are a Christ follower. That's a name. That's a name we can live into. As believers, you have become, get this, a child of God. A child of the King, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That makes us princes and princesses, doesn't it? No matter what others say, no matter what you have left unaccomplished in life, you are a prince or a princess. You are lovable and worth God's time. You are worth dying for. You are redeemable. And guess what God calls you? He calls you friend. If you're feeling like you're caught living a life that you'd like to change, and even if not, I'm going to make this challenge that over the next 30 days or so, you take this little obscure prayer found in a genealogical record and make it your prayer. Pray it every day, morning. Pray it every day, night, as a part of your regular prayer time, or simply put this prayer by your bedside. And when you wake up in the morning, grab it. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. And don't rush through it. Say it and mean it. And before you go to bed, start tonight. Oh God, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. God, keep me from harm. And maybe you want to expand that to your family. I believe this one small change at the beginning of this year will have a great impact in your life. More than exercise or counting calories, this will have an eternal impact in your life. And it is my prayer that you will become a noted name. That you will become a noted name in your family's historical record because you intentionally made this 30-day commitment. Oh, maybe we won't have names like George Washington or Sir Richard Fowler, Knight of the Round Table. And maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm already pretty old. I really don't have much time. You are redeemable right where you're at. It's never too late to change for God. Do you know what the very last five words of this verse said? Do you remember? And God granted his prayer. And God granted his prayer. People, our hope isn't built on what others think of us. It's built on what Jesus Christ has already done for us and continues to do in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our rock, not names or words or labels that others have tried to force upon us in years past. We lean on the powerful name of Jesus and let him guide our efforts as we move into this new year, a year of new hopes, a year of new possibilities. Embrace what God can do. Embrace what only God can do. Well, not can do, but is already doing. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we do lean on your name. And we thank you for the names that you have called us. Friend. Prince. Princess. Loved one. Redeemable. God, we lean on you. And we trust you to see us through this year. And God, use this simple little prayer over the next 30 or so days. God, to encourage us, to bless us, to challenge us. God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,